what we're doing here, we've got those who are visiting with us, and it may be that not everybody has the blue cards, and so I'll give Michael the copy of my cards, because I've got another list of them here. David says, I didn't quite finish the book of Numbers, but why don't we go ahead and start in Deuteronomy? Let's talk about Deuteronomy. We've talked about Exodus, going out of the land of Egypt. What's in the book of Leviticus? What is in Leviticus? All right, priestly duty, all the duties of the Leviticus, all right. What's in Numbers? Why does that book have the name Numbers? Because they numbered the people. Where did they first number them? At Mount Sinai. How many years was it from the time of the first numbering to the time of the second numbering? 40 years. Now here's the hard one. How many people how many soldiers were there that came out of the land of Egypt? Does anybody have any idea what? Jimmy Banks, you know that number? All right, 603,550, and others were mouthing that. I am so impressed. Why is that important? Because there was a census made, and they knew the name of everybody that left the land of Egypt. 40 years later, they take another census. There's not anybody in here that knows the number in the second census. Am I right about that? Where's Chuck Milton when he's here? 601,770. That's amazing. How many of the 603,550 had died? How many of them did not enter the promised land? All of them except how many? Two. Who were the two that entered into the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. And so you figured out, Zion, they were having 80 funerals a day. Isn't that amazing? For those 40 years, that's the only way you can have 603,000. Just do the math, and it's about 80 funerals a day. That's a lot of grave digging, I'm telling you. But you understand, they were not going to enter that promised land. So they're in the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief. They come back up, and the closing chapters of the book of Numbers has given us the details of a lot of the things they've done. They've conquered the east bank of the Jordan River, and they have appointed, and this is one thing that is important from those closing chapters of Numbers, they appointed 6 cities of refuge. 6 cities of refuge. What on earth is a city of refuge all about? And what was the law under the Old Testament? An eye for what? And a tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life. So if you kill somebody, you'd lose your life. What if you accidentally did it? You're in trouble. If you accidentally, killed somebody, what are you going to do? You could run to one of these cities of refuge. So before they entered the promised land, the closing chapters of Numbers says on the east bank, here are the 3 cities on the east bank. When they get into the promised land on the west side, there are 3 cities that are there. It was a city of refuge where you could go, and if you were innocent, you went before the elders of that city, you explained your case, and you were allowed to stay inside that city of refuge. God is fair, and God is just, and God understands sometimes that you could accidentally kill someone, and you're not liable to give your life for the fact you'd killed another. Let's get to Deuteronomy. Where does the book get its name? What does the word Deuteronomy mean? I'm not even sure that is on the card, if I'm not mistaken. It's on the prophet card. The first question when you get to the Deuteronomy section on the prophet card, Deuteronomy means what? Second. You see the word duet? Now, I know how you spell duet. But if you're dyslexic, you can spell it just like it's spelled in Deuteronomy. And instead of D-U-E-T, it's D-E-U-T because it means two. And nomos means law. It's the Greek word for law. So it was a Greek name given to this book. It is the second law. Where were the Ten Commandments first given? Mount Sinai. You know what chapter that's in? Exodus, halfway through Exodus. Is that close enough? If there are 40 chapters, could you do the math? If there are 40 chapters in the book of Exodus and halfway through Exodus you find the Ten Commandments, you got it just right in chapter 20. Now then, when you get to Deuteronomy, Moses is an older man. And so on the prophet card, the content of Deuteronomy, what is it? It is Moses' farewell speech to the Israelites. So he's there at the beginning of the 40 years. He's there at the end of the 40 years. And he calls the Jews together and reminds them of the law that God made with them. Can I show you key verses? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13. We've sort of hinted at this once before. Very, very important. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13 says, "He declared unto you His covenant, even 10 commandments." What does that say? You came to Mount Sinai, you came to Horeb, the other name for Mount Sinai, and God declared unto you His covenant, even the 10 commandments. Now, why is that important? Because there's another key verse, and it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses calls all the Jews together, and he says, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb," Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 2. Then look what it said. "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those of us who are here today, all of us who are alive." What's the covenant? "He declared unto you His covenant, even the Ten Commandments." He did not make this covenant with the fathers. Who's that? That's Abraham, it's Isaac, Jacob, it's those patriarchs there in the book of Genesis. That God did not make that covenant with them. Look in this same chapter, you're still in Deuteronomy 5. Look down in verse 12 when he says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy." 6 days, verse 13 says, "6 days you shall work. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord, and in it not even your animals are to do any work." And then he says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore," you see that? When you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, what question should you ask? What's it there for? What has he just said? He said, "You were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord has given you a rest day. Therefore," you know it's a conclusion based on what I've just said. You were slaves. You had no rights or anything because the Lord rested. Therefore, the Lord has given you the Sabbath day. Therefore, look at the text. You were slaves in the land of Egypt. And then he says, "He brought you out with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord God commanded you to have a rest day." What were they to do on the rest day? Most folks miss it. Because in the New Testament, the Jews had decided there would be a synagogue. You know, only once in the Old Testament is the word synagogue found in the King James Bible, other translation. Synagogue's not even in the Old Testament. It's when you get to the New Testament period, now on the Sabbath day, they're coming together on the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath was not designed as a worship day. It was designed as a remembering day. Ten Commandments? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so on that day, the Lord remembered the Sabbath day, they were to remember the Sabbath. Remember what? We were down in the land of Egypt, and God brought us out across the Red Sea and brought us to the promised land. Remember the Sabbath. And that's why he says here in Deuteronomy, observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. What do? On that day, you remember that you were a slave. Therefore, the Lord has given you a rest day. That's a concept that so many people do not understand. It was not designed as a worship day. The Jews, by the time of the first century, had made it. Whenever in the Babylonian captivity, they were scattered all over the world, they decided they'd try to keep together, and they made it a time to come together instead of the... It was designed for a man to stay at home with his family, and for his slaves to have a rest day, and for his animals to have a rest day. And so he says, on that day, you remember the Sabbath day to keep it on. Josiah, what time is it?
6:54.
All right. I can almost see that watch there, okay? That is great. Now then, that is important. There are some things that are really important, and that is the things that we've looked at in chapter 5, verse 2. The Lord did not make this covenant with the fathers. I want us to skip several chapters here, and I want us to get to chapter 18. Look in chapter 18. We'll come back to some of the things in chapter 6. But because we mentioned this in the sermon tonight, look in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Here is one of the things that Moses said. He's 1 month before he dies. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy is a series of three sermons, three long talks that Moses had. You know, your parents ever have a talk with you and say, we need to talk about this. That's what Moses is doing. He's about to die. I want to talk to you before I die. And so Moses, knowing that he's about to die, in fact, he says, I know I'm not going to enter into that promised land. But he says in chapter 18, look at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. Got the picture? God had given the law through Moses. And so Moses tells the people, here's what God is going to do. Someday, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the midst of you, from your brethren, and you shall hear. According to all the desires the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord your Lord our God, nor let me see this great fire anymore. And the Lord said to me, what they've said is a good thing. And then he says, but there's coming another time in which I will speak. You see, at Mount Sinai, they were scared to death. God spoke from Mount Sinai. The earth was shaking underneath them. We talked about this, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And imagine the impact that had, on a young person to feel that earthquake and see that fire and that lightning. They were terrified, and they said to Moses, don't let God speak to us. You go up into the presence of God, and you come down and tell us what God said. And Jesus said, or Moses says, guess what? God's going to do the same thing. He's going to speak to you from a prophet. And he says, a prophet shall he raise up. Look at verse 18. I will raise up for you, for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth. You see that word, words? See anything unusual about that word, words? You see the S on it? Jesus did not just speak the Word of God. He spoke the words of God. Remember the Ten Commandments? What was written on those tablets of stone? The Word of God? No, the words of God. It's all right to call it the Word of God. It's an all-inclusive statement. But the Bible is not just the Word of God. It is the words of God. And there's a real difference. Don't just try to tell me in a generic way what God wants me to do. Tell me the very words that God spoke. And that's important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about the matter of inspiration. He says about this mystery that nobody could understand. Which things also we speak. Talking about his preaching. The mystery of God. That's what I've been preaching about, the mystery of God. which things also we speak, not in words, hear the S, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit. You and I need to understand that the Bible is not inspired just in some generic sort of a way, like a football team could get inspired. Anybody see the Razorbacks play yesterday? Did you see that, Lars? Or did you watch that Notre Dame game? Did you see you didn't watch that football game? You and I need to have a talk about what's really important. Okay, no, but did you see that inspired play in that football game? It was really amazing. In fact, that Notre Dame game, I thought the Pope had come down and inspired the whole team. I mean, just all of a sudden, Notre Dame came out of the woodwork and everything. It was a great game. Anyway, that's not what inspiration is. It's not just somebody getting all emotional. Well, I'm inspired by this. You're joking. Okay, he showed me at 7 o'clock already. I cannot believe this. But now hear what the Bible says. We speak the things in words given by the Holy Spirit. It is not God gave a generic idea, and Paul, you express it the best way you can. We speak the thing in words taught by the Holy Spirit of God. If you'd come down off Mount Sinai, or Moses had, and we had the Ten Commandments, and he handed you the Ten Commandments, you would be holding in your hand, the Word of God, would you be holding in your hand the words of God? Guess what you've got? I don't need this edition in here. It's an illustration. These are the notes from tonight's class. But Josiah, when I hand you this, you hold in your hand the words of God. He that rejecteth me and receives not my words, with the S on it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Do you know you have the words that Jesus said? That's what inspiration is. And so just like if you'd had those Ten Commandments, you could say, I've got the Word of God, but I've got even better than I've got the words of God. You hold in your hand the very words of God. And that's so important for us to understand and have an appreciation of. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up. When John the Baptist, John chapter 1, comes on the scene, they couldn't figure out who John was. They went out and they said, are you Elijah? He said, nope. Do you think I'm Elijah that's in the Old Testament? That's not who I am. And then they said, then are you that prophet? The Jews of the first century knew that a prophet was coming, and they wondered if perhaps it was John the Baptist. And he said, no, I am not the prophet. Well, they're talking about Deuteronomy 18. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, this very verse is quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 3. This very verse is quoted and says, all of the prophets that have spoken of these days. What days? The days when that prophet was going to come. You know who that prophet is. You know who was that individual who came down, not down from Mount Sinai, but came down and gave unto us the words of God. In fact, did he not say in the book of John that the words that you've given me, they're the very words I've given to the apostles? You and I need to understand the importance of studying the Bible. And it is so important. Here's one for you. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter. Find where the verse is. I thought it was chapter 10, but obviously it's not. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Here's the law concerning kings. He says, when you come to the land, Deuteronomy 17, verse 14, when you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell within it, and say, I will set a king over me like the nations that are around me. They came into the promised land, and ultimately they said, we want to be like these nations that are around us. We want us to have a king. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren. You shall set a king over you, and you may not let a foreigner over you who is not of your brethren. But he shall not, and he shall not multiply his horses, nor cause his people to return to Egypt to multiply horses, for the Lord has said unto them, you shall not return to that way again to the land of Egypt. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself. Hello, Solomon, are you listening? You shall not, how many wives did Solomon have? 700 wives and 300 what? Porcupines? Concubines, all right. He had 700 wives and then he says, now verse 18. It shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself. He shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book from the one that is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it every day of his life. You know what changed America? If everybody in Washington had to make their handwritten copy. Do you understand? That king, make your own handwritten. How would you like to write down, handwrite, the whatever part you want to pick. You want to pick the book of Exodus? You want to pick the book of Leviticus? You want to pick the book of Deuteronomy? You make a handwritten copy of the Bible and you read it every day. That's important. That is important for us to do. There's a lady that's a part of the Monday Night Class. She's on the Skype part of it. And she is hand copying the entire Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? She's got a long way to go, but she says, you'd be amazed how much more you learn if you're looking at the text and then writing it over here. That forces you to look at every word to see if there's an S on it. That's it for tonight. All right, we'll take up right here next week, next Sunday night. Thank you very much.